I don't know whether I should have put a PG to this in terms of what I'm going to be saying, okay, because it's going to be quite forthright, so I trust that all of you who have ears will have ears to hear. And if you feel that the language is a bit too strong, you might want to put your fingers in your ears. But it all comes from the Bible, all right? So let's fasten our safety belts and take off. So what we've been dealing so far is the question of who am I, what am I called to do? As a Christian, I am called to live as a child of the light. That's what we've been talking about. And so we've been dealing with quite a few matters. And so we continue to live as children of life as we look at the sixth example of purity within unity. We looked at lying, we looked at anger, stealing, unwholesome talk, unkindness and bitterness. And today, I want to look at sexual immorality. Okay? And I've entitled my message, Don't Joke About Sex. Rather, give thanks for it. Now, many of us have grown up in the old school of strict disciplinarian parents, and you will know the very word sex was taboo. It was rude and unacceptable in communication and in our vocabulary. If the word sex slipped out of our mouths, then we were in for a hiding for nothing. That is why older folk feel embarrassed and awkward talking about sex between themselves and among their children to this very day. And when sex education was considered being introduced in school by the government of the day, many parents, including myself, were distraught about this. Now friends, it is one thing to teach primary school kids about sexual dangers that lurk out in the world, or to talk about how evil and wicked people can take advantage over innocent children, and how children can spot the danger signs. That's one thing to talk about. However, it is quite another thing and totally unacceptable to expose children to sex by using figurines and pictures to explain a male and female in the act of performing it. And this could lead to children experimenting. We must never underestimate the sinful nature that we have inherited in our foreparents from the time of Adam and Eve. Friends, the sinful nature is bent in the direction of sin. Adults ought to know better and on how and when to introduce sex education and educate on behavior patterns of adults that could be harmful or dangerous. Now, friends, I believe it is absolutely scandalous and shocking to see perverts, pedophiles, targeting little children to gratify their sinful behavior. It is even more scathing to see and read of children as young as 1 and 2 years being sexually molested. It is happening all the time, and the ones that we hear of is only the ones that have been reported or when the police and authorities get involved. But that is not how it was from the beginning. See, God created Adam and Eve, and the Bible says God created them male and female. And sex was ordained by God himself. Anything ordained by God must be very good, isn't so? Because God looked at both male and female and commented that they were very, very good. Now, we know that it was good for God. We also know that it was good for love, it was good for each other, and it was good for both male and female. Where do we find this in the Bible? Well, have a look at Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. You'll find it appearing on the screen, so you don't need to turn to it. It says, so God created the mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Can you see that? The word fruitful means to reproduce after its kind. Now we see this in the plant life in verse 11. And we also see, if you look at verse 11, the land produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. Have a look at verse 22. We see it in animal life as well. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. The same word is used of human life in verse 27. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, God's natural order is that only a man and a woman is able to produce children. Biologically, a man and a man can never produce children. Right? Nor can a woman and a woman produce children. The natural order is this. God made them male and female. That is God's way. And God's way is only within the confines of marriage. See, God did not permit a male and female consummation outside of marriage. The fall in Genesis 3 has corrupted the goodness of God. To the point where Paul says in Romans 1, although they knew God and God's command, they refused to glorify God and give him thanks. They became fools and their foolish hearts were darkened, were black with darkness. Have a look at Romans 1, 24 and 27. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Now friends, we can see from this that man has become corrupt and bent in his sin. And so with the coming of Jesus, with the advent of the Spirit, the formation and establishment of the church, Paul says this, don't joke about sex. Jokes aside. And so we turn to Ephesians 5 and verses 3 and 4. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality of any kind or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's interesting to see that Paul turns from self-sacrifice in verses 1 and 2 to the very opposite, self-indulgence, in verses 1 and 2, in verses 3 and 4. So he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, that is self-sacrifice in terms of what Christ has done for us. And notice verses 3 and 4 moves to the very opposite. It moves to self-indulgence. It moves to the perversion of love to lust. And the Greek words that is used in the Bible is porneia, from which we get the word pornography. Okay? And it is fornication. We also have the word akathasia, which is a Greek word, which means impurity. And these two words cover every kind of sexual sin. Everything outside of a God-ordained marriage is sin, no matter what the world calls it. Trial marriages, shacking or shacking up with partners, common law wives, one night stands, swingers club where couples exchange each other's partner for a night is against the Bible, against God, and against good morals. Friends, let me say this. This is not a sermon on morality. This is a sermon on whose we are and who we belong to. See, true love is found in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. And God's love for us is in Jesus Christ. The love that we are called to have or to display is the love that Christ had for his Father and Jesus. This is the supreme love of the Son when Christ loved us. It is as a result of what Jesus has done for us that we are called to live a life of love. It is as a result of what Christ has done for us we are called not to live a life of lust. Friends, it is as a result of what Christ has done for us that we are called to live a life that is worthy of our calling. Are we really a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God in the area of our sexuality? Notice how Paul moves from immorality to vulgarity. Have a look at verse 3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. What does Paul mean when he says, not even a hint? Let no one point a finger at you, he says, in the way you conduct yourselves. See, Paul spells it out in verse 4 in terms of how we speak to one another. It is in the area of our unwholesome speech and language that we use that sometimes identify us as a person who may possibly be a pervert. See, our unwholesome speech also makes other people listening to you uncomfortable. And if they are, in the same unholy conduct as you are, then remember this. Birds of a feather will always flock together. It makes no difference whatsoever. Like attracts like. When you enjoy filthy communication, When you enjoy people who make a mockery out of that which is good and that which God has given to us, then you are no better. Your mind becomes dirty. What then is the reason for making sure that our speech does not even smell of a hint of sexual immorality? Well, is it because we are better than other Christians? Is it because we are holier than other Christians? No. 1,000 times no. It is because God says so in his word. If you look at verse 3 again, the simple reason is because these are improper for God's holy people. What is improper? Well, obscenity. And what is obscenity? It is language that is vulgar and full of sexual innuendos. Again, another improper communication is coarse joking. What is coarse joking? Well, it is crude and rude jokes. Does this mean God is a spoil sport? That God does not want us to laugh and have fun with jokes? No. God is a fun-loving God. Of course Jesus expects his people to be humorous. Now friend, let me say this, you may not know this of me, I love to be around humorous people, especially when I had a tough day. It helps me unwind and relax. Good, clean humor and fun is great. And what is not good and great are jokes at the expense of others. Jokes that are crude. Jokes that are rude. Jokes that belittle people made in the image of God. Do you know what I basically like and find very, what I find very, very annoying? It is when the seriousness of our vows and the commitment of a couple is spoilt by the MC in a modern wedding reception. Have you ever been to a wedding? And the wedding is so dignified, so beautiful. And then you come and sit in a reception and you feel totally disjointed. And who do you blame for that? Well, you blame the couple who has invited the MC to speak. See, the MC thinks he can say anything and everything that is crude and rude and shameful to couples in relationships. The MC must not be given carte blanche authority to do as he pleases. As a bridal couple, you are paying him for his services. And he must do what you tell him to do. If he refuses, or if she refuses to do as you tell him to do, then you must get somebody else who probably will charge you one third of the price. Coarse joking in wedding receptions is out of place. I have a cousin who is a Roman Catholic stand-up comedian. He likes to call himself a Christian, but he's far from it. I have confronted him with this, with his below-the-belt jokes, and told him that it is out of place. It is improper. Do you know what his response was? It is a matter of interpretation, Kazi. And my question was, whose interpretation? See, coarse joking is out of place, says the apostles. It is the cheapest form of wit. All three, obscenity or vulgarity, foolish or silly talk, and coarse joking refer to a dirty mind expressing itself in dirty conversation, says John Stott. Remember, whenever there is a prohibition, there is also equal liberty. Notice what the Bible encourages us to do. It encourages us to give thanks. Now, what's the difference between the two? One is self-centered and the other is God-centered. Do you get that? Thanksgiving recognizes God's generosity. It is also in direct contrast to the pagan attitude of sin. Of sex. The Greek goddess Artemis or Diana was regarded as the goddess of fertility. And if you read the history and the stories of these Greek gods and goddesses, you will be shocked as to how these so-called gods can perform such lewd acts. And so sexual orgies were regularly associated with their worship, with Diana, the goddess of Artemis. They were rife in the temple. It is a free-for-all situation possessed by people who in their drunken stupor perform the most lewd acts to appease their goddesses. The Bible says to live a life worthy as a Christian, you and I are called to honor sex. And to honor it, you got to have your perspective right and give thanks to God. See, Christians on the other hand, friends, must not have a low and degrading view of that which is good from God. Why? Because We have a high and a holy view of God. And God's 10th commandment says, you shall not covet. Thou shall not covet. Genesis 20:17. It says there, then Abraham prayed to God and God healed. That's the wrong one. Sorry, I think I've got the wrong verse there. Covetousness is greediness, which is listed in verse 3. It is clear that because of our greed and lust, that the neighbor's house looks better than mine. See, in Genesis 20:17, it says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's ox. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's maidservant or manservant. You see, what does that mean for us today living in the 20th century? Well, it is clear. It is greed and lust for our neighbor's house that makes my neighbor's house looks better than mine. It makes my neighbor's wife looks better than my own wife when I look at her. It makes my neighbor's ox look better than my own security. It makes my neighbor's donkey look better than my own transport. It makes my neighbor's maidservant look better than my own form of service. Do not covet. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks because of verse 2. And what does verse 2 says? Well, God has given us Jesus Christ, his son. I like that song when we sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Why? Because God has given us his son. Give thanks because of 5 and verse 1. And what does 5 and verse 1 says? God has given us a life of love. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Give thanks because godliness and contentment is great gain. All of God's gifts, including sex, is a subject for thanksgiving rather than for joking. So when we thank God for our sexuality, we preserve its worth as a blessing from a loving Creator. Now, as a close friend, let me say this. You witness a baptism service, baptism of Liam Josiah. It's a great statement that Vivian and Deborah has made this morning. Let me say this. This child is born of a love relationship within marriage. It is within this high view of God that the Lord blesses his people. And children are a gift from God, and more so within the godly obedience of a couple who loves God. And therefore, God's gift of sex is a subject for thanksgiving. So don't joke about it. Don't degrade it. Don't make it so low that you don't think much of it. It is so important to remember that it is a blessing from God. It is holy, and it is lovely, and it is acceptable within the confines of a holy marriage. And so as we conclude then with chapters 4 and 5, here's the convicting charge of unity within purity in a church. And this is what John Stott says, and he says it's better than I can. It is our interpretation of Christian experience, what we are. It is Christian theology, what we believe. And it is Christian ethics, how we behave, that brings all this together. And what we are governs how we think. How we think determines how we act. We are God's new people, and we are called to put off the old and put on the new. And two good words ought to stand out in summarizing all that we heard. If you forget everything else, These are the two words. Live a life worthy of your Christian calling in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And 5:3, avoid immorality as it is improper for God's holy people. So two words, worthy and improper, that must govern us as we live out our lives. So what is the implication? Don't make unclean jokes about that which is sacred. Do you get that? Don't make unclean jokes about that which is sacred. And number two, Christian conversation must be filled with thanks and praise to a holy God. May God help us. Let us pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friends, you have heard God's word. God made them male and female. Heavenly Father, how we thank you, dear Lord, for creating the human species and making them male and female. Please help us to know our roles and to find fulfillment in what you have created to be good and clean and holy. We confess that man's view of sex has been conditioned by the immorality and vulgarity of depraved and shallow minds. Lord, your word is right when it declares that sinful man has lost all sensitivity and given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. O God, turn our thoughts back to you. Help us when we are tempted by the visual arts of deceptiveness and cunning. May we live a life that is worthy and proper as part of our Christian witness and calling. O God Almighty, have mercy on us. As we leave this place, there is none of us here that is without temptation. And when we leave this place, we carry within us the sinful nature. And if we yield to the sinful nature, we will bring disaster to ourselves. But if we resist the sinful nature and yield to the Holy Spirit, then we will bring blessing to ourselves. Father, help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.